Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and welcome to our 37th podcast, Name It and Claim It. Some of our topics today, today's buffet, where would you stay? Tour group not, and how do you play? Well, let's start with how do you play, and of course, we'll be talking about one of our favorite games, the game of craps, and a betting system that's way out there. Yeah. You ever hear of this man? Al Kaufman, the professor? Let's see how he says you should play. Let's get started with how do you play. Okay, so loosen up a little olive music, and we'll give you what we know about Al Kaufman. Well, Al Kaufman didn't talk about how to play craps the smart way. And generally, just remember that phrase, smart craps, because you can learn the correct, in theory, mathematically supported way to play craps. And that is, on the pass line, once the point is established, take full odds, let's just say it's 10 time odds, make two combats, and hit those combats with full odds. Wow. That's it. Pretty simple. And listen, if the table is hot, if people are making points and rolling point numbers, rolling numbers, you'll make a killing. But here's the problem with smart craps. All right, so let's say it's a $5 table and a point's established. And now you put 10 times odds behind the line. You got $55 on the table. And then that's going to happen two more times because you're making combats. So, you know, if you came to the table with $300 and you go three shooters who didn't make a point, and actually didn't roll many numbers either. They sevened out pretty quickly. You know what, pal? You could be knocked out. You could be knocked out in 10 minutes. And that happens to people. And they're saying, like, what the hell? I'm playing smart craps. People were telling me this is the smart way to play. I'm getting killed. That's actually the problem with smart craps. It takes too much money to play it. You know, when people say, always take full odds, well, you better have a bankroll because if the table's cold, you know, people aren't rolling their points and people aren't rolling numbers and you're losing everything, your combats with odds, a pass line with odds, doesn't take too long to be down. And that's at a $5 table. So I've won big playing smart craps and I lost big and I stopped losing big because I stopped being crazy about it. You know, look for other ways to play. And I started to enjoy, you know, checking out systems. And never, ever think that a system won't work, no matter what experts say. Hey, that sounded like a train whistle in the background. Oh, goodness, that's my phone. Sorry. Well, all systems do and don't work. It just depends how the dice are rolling. There's no guarantees. There's no fail-safe. Part of this podcast experience is to share a lot of low-rolling systems with you, and you know, some of them are decent, and we've tried them out sometimes being skeptical and had success. I remember the time three of us went to the Meadows. It's about 20 miles south of the Pittsburgh airport, and it was a Larry Adele system, and we went there and we said, okay, we're gonna do this for an hour and we're gonna meet up again and, you know, talk about our experiences, and everybody won. You know, everybody won several hundred dollars. But the system probably sucks. We were just lucky, but we were on three different tables. It's like you never really know. You know, you never really know. But the system I'm going to talk about today, Al Kaufman's system, it's the Martingale system on steroids. Oh, my. It's the strangest system. But I went on to Wizard of Oz. Those of you that visit that site, the guy is deeply intellectual mathematically, and he knows all the games, but he has a nice free craps game that you can play. And so I used that, and I won money using Al Kaufman's system. And then I have my own craps table, so a little beat up, worn out, but still, nonetheless, we have a craps table in our game room area, and I won there. I actually was talking to Mark Duvall from You Can Bet on That via email. And, you know, I explained to him that I won 9 out of 10 times, even though I know this system could kill you. But so let me just get this down for you. We're going to just play the pass line and the don't pass line and nothing else. Okay. We're not going to play any prop bets. We're not going to place any numbers. We're not going to make any hot bets. We're just going to play the don't pass and the pass line and nothing else. I hope that spikes your interest. And we're going to start, let's say, at a $5 table. And obviously, you have $5 on the don't pass, $5 on the pass line, and the only thing that's going to really kill you is a 12. We're not even going to worry about the 12. We get a 12. It's a push on the don't pass, but you lose the pass line. But other than that, we're going to win one line and lose another. So this is the system that L. Kaufman is teaching. The losing bet advances from $5 to $15, and the winning bet stays at $5. Anytime you win, no matter how much is on the line, you return to $5, and that could be the pass line or the don't pass line. Okay, so now, you know, you lost $5 the first time because nobody won. You one line won and one line lost. But now the don't pass line on the second come out roll has $15 on it, and you still have $5 on the pass line. Okay, so let's say a 7 is rolled, so the pass line wins, so it stays the same. But the don't pass line lost. So what do you think? That $15 becomes $35. Okay, that becomes $35. Okay, so let's say this time on the come out, you don't have to worry about making a point or not because somebody throws a 3. So you win. You win $35. So now the pass line becomes $15 because you had lost $5 on it, and the don't pass line returns to $5. Okay, so as far as this system goes, it's not just the martingale, because it's the martingale plus, because you're not going to win just $5. You know, you're going to win $10, $15, $20 doing this. But here's the problem. If it doesn't flip from one line to the other, in other words, if you have somebody make 7 points, you're going to get knocked out. If somebody's going to 7 out 7 times, you're going to get knocked out. And the sequence of the losing bets, this is where you, when you lose from the don't pass or the pass line, you start with $5, and then you go to 15, then you go to 35, then you go to 75, then you go to 150, and I'm out. But if you wanted to keep going the way Mr. Kaufman, the professor, teaches it, you go 300, 600. So one more time, the losing sequence on either line, like these are being played independently, so when a line loses, you up the bet, up the ladder. If a line wins, you return to $5. But you're doing these both at the same time. So here we go again. It's $5, loss. Goes to $15, loss. Goes to $35, loss. Goes to $75, loss. Goes to $150, loss. Goes to $300, loss. Goes to $600, loss. Goes to $1,200. Oh, my. So there it is. And you can go up that ladder, like I do, only so far. Because I'm going to say, like, what the smoke? I'm going to get wiped out here. You know, Jimmy the Greek had this great line, never fight a streak, you know, and more true than not, you know. So, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're at a table that's flipping, you know, point, point, 7 out, 7 out, 7 out, point, 7 out, point, 7 out, 7 out, 7 out, point, point, most systems kill you. This system brings home the money. So when the table was flip-flopping, this is the way to play, maybe. But I want to tell you something. What I'm looking forward to, because I haven't played this in a casino, only at my own table and on the Wizard of Oz free play site. I want to see how dealers look at me, you know, when I'm playing the pass line and the don't pass, only those two. I want to see how they're looking. You know, because particularly in the Midwest, I've seen this every time I play in the riverboats, and oh, that's too often, I suppose you're going to think, but I see people play pass, line, don't pass on a come up, and then what they do is they lift the don't pass. It's just a way of, you know, hedging the throwing a craps number and, you know, crapping out on a come out roll. So you can lift a don't pass anytime, and I've seen that before. I've also seen people do this in the Midwest, and I've done this sometimes. They'll start the game on the pass line and the don't pass line. Now, they take themselves out of any kind of win there, you know, so if it's the same amount of money on each line. But then they'll play odds behind the pass line. That's all they want to bet, just odds behind the pass line. So that's another way to look at it, another way to do it. So if they win, the pass line bet is wiped out by the don't pass loss, but the odds bet behind the pass line pays. So that's another way people play. But Kaufman's not doing that at all. You're not playing any kind of odds. You're betting $5 and $5. The winning line stays at $5. The losing line goes up the scale. And then when the losing line becomes the winning line, you return the losing line to $5, and then you take the other line that had the $5, and you make it $15. So it's $5, $15, $35, $75, $150, $300. I'm out of this sequence already. $600, $1,200. So to do it his way, you need about $2,400. And I've gone to casinos with that kind of money, but I'm not going to play this system. But I, you know what? I'm going to kick around. I might stick in up to $75 when I'm fooling around with this, but that's it. So the professor says, if you're a professional and you're serious, chips are your tools. So use those tools your way. And, you know, this guy, his system is no better or worse than a lot of others that I've read. Do with it what you will. I've enjoyed playing it with pretend money. And I'll let you know as soon as I win some money at a regulation craps table in a legitimate casino, I'll let you know how that goes. So if you have the courage to give it a try, I'm not saying you should. There's no guarantees, but that's it. So that's the Don't Pass Pass Line System of L. Kaufman, the professor. Hey, we'll be right back. So let's go to Name It and Claim It, part one. Here it is. You know, Mark Duvall, again, such a gentleman, he was kind enough to point out that when I was discussing bubble craps, you know, I had talked about playing the pass line and the dumb pass line, but the shoot-to-win machines aren't set up that way, so I must have been thinking about the inner block machine. When I was playing bubble craps on my most recent trip to Las Vegas at the Excalibur, the Tropicana, I didn't play that way, but I was thinking that I had, but actually I played that way at Maryland Live. And this is, I think, why they schedule them that way, and so you can't do it. Because what happens in terms of comps, when you bet the pass line and the don't pass line, the machine is not set up to realize that it's one against the other. It adds the bet, so you're getting more comp power. So let's think about that. So if I put $100 on the dome pass and $100 on the pass, okay, and to protect myself, say I put $5 on the 12, you know, just in case, because I got $200 sitting on those lines, the bet would be $205. In terms of comp power, if you're a $205 better, you're going to get comped. I mean, that's high roller talk, you know, to put $100 on the pass line, $100 on the down pass line. Yeah. And at the inner block in Maryland Live, when the machines first went in, that's what was happening. And, you know, talking to people there, they were getting comped to hell and back when people figured it out. Now, I think they also upgraded their software at this point, so you can still do that, but in terms of your total bet, it subtracts one from another, and so you're hurting yourself because your bet's zero. You know? But shoot to win won't let you do it, and it's, I think it's all about comps. Now, when you're doing it on a regulation table, if there is such a thing as a regulation table, you know, a casino table in a legitimate casino, they're eyeballing you. And whether they're going to treat you like a $25 pass line player or a dome pass line player when you're betting both, I don't know. You might get away with it, you might not. But I think that's why that happens. But Mark's right. You can't do it on a shoot to win. Something else he told me, he was saying in Harris, California, he must have played a little bubble craps there, because he said that he discovered you can, he actually sent pictures, you can hop numbers. And in my mind, there were two or three of us, and we were trying to, I said, hey, you know, can you, how do you hop numbers? And somebody said, I don't know. And then we were playing around there, and maybe it was us, you know, we just couldn't figure out how to hop numbers. But I saw what Mark sent me in his picture, that it's just easy to turn the hop numbers on. So I'm saying maybe they do, maybe they don't. I can't verify it, but obviously some shoot-to-win machines can hop numbers. So I named it, and I claimed it. I might come back to something like this later. The other area of conversation today is tour group knot. And I want to talk about this. I'll give you some time to think about it. I would go to Las Vegas with family and friends, and I've done that many times. I wouldn't go to Las Vegas with a tour group, and for a large number of reasons. The first one is the agenda may not appeal to me. So, I mean, I'm not going to pay money. If the agenda involves going to a bar for, you know, an hour and a half, I'm out, because I'm not going to Vegas to drink. I will drink while I'm in Vegas. Again, I'll say it, but I will not go to Las Vegas to drink. And anybody who thinks that getting drunk home, away, is something that's really cool, I don't want to hang out with you. Again, I've worked with people searching for donations to really good, legitimate causes. And these people are multimillionaires. And they would frown on anyone who did that. You know, certainly to talk about a particular cocktail or a craft beer and to appreciate it, that's awesome. I mean, that's a great conversation. But to go there and get pounded, wow. And you know what? And if I'm getting pounded with strangers, that's almost like desperate, like I'm being desperate in life. So that's one thing, the agenda. And God bless anyone who tries to create an agenda that keeps everybody happy. So tour group not for me. If I was going to China, I would go on a tour group. And I would do that for the safety of it. There would be a government representative. And I told you, I have open invitations because I've worked with capitalists. Even though they live in a communist country, I've said this over and over again. It's become a cliche with me. The red Chinese are more capitalist than most Americans, you know. I met a gentleman who owns a water park outside of Sandusky, Ohio. He lives in Beijing. You tell me how they can be communists. And, you know, they invest in American businesses. But I think there, if I was going to Italy, I possibly would consider a tour group. But I just, and, you know, I know my wife's the same way. Like she wants to create her agenda. And, you know, she might say, yeah, we can go, like, we'll meet you tomorrow and we'll do these things. But she doesn't want to meet you every day. And she doesn't want to do certain things every day. And maybe it's just our personalities. Maybe it's not. Tour group to Las Vegas. If you're really nervous about Las Vegas and fearful, maybe it makes some sense. But if you're with a group of friends and you can agree on an agenda beforehand, that's very important. I would bypass that scene. I wouldn't do it. But again, that's an individual thing. It's like chocolate, ice cream, or vanilla. It's a matter of personal taste, and you really can't argue personal taste very much, right? Some people like chocolate, some like vanilla, some people like to be in tour groups, some don't. I know friends who take cruises, and it's, I have a group of friends, they've invited me to go, and I won't do it. And I spent a lot of my life in boating, big boats too, 36-foot boats. And they say that on a cruise, some cruises have assigned seating at dinners, and if you're with the wrong group of people that you have literally nothing in common with, it's horrible. You know, there's more open seating now, but there's still this formality with a lot of cruise lines, and it's too artificial. I guess that's what it is. It's too artificial. Now, we also have friends that take off for months at a time. I guess they can do that, and they spend time in Florida doing, you know, snowbirds. And the condominiums that they stay in are furnished and all, but it's haphazard because there's not family or friends necessarily with them, but they do make some good friends. And they do, they were telling us, like, every Sunday, they make Sunday like a group day, and the friends in the condominiums where they stay, friends that they just met on the trip, they'll say, like, well, they'll have some people over, then the next Sunday you go somewhere else, and maybe you bring dessert or something like that. So it's almost like small town life, but with strangers. And they do make some good friends that way. Janie and I have made friends traveling to casino hotels, at conversations, you know, in social situations. And, you know, it's a Christmas card kind of thing, or we see them, you know, once or twice again, and we feel very comfortable. And we've had invitations to go to homes near the casino, some locals. Even in Las Vegas, we've had those kind. And but it's just something that's just not for us. So tour group, not. That's Coach Fab and Janie and a whole lot of other people, too. But, you know, talk about it. It's not necessarily a guarantee that you're going to have a good time. But it also could ensure some things that maybe you wouldn't do that once you did do them, you'd enjoy. So that's the end of that gospel. Name it, claim it. Tour group, not. How do you play? And there's more to come. And this next component is, if you go to Las Vegas with teenagers, where would you stay? What would you do? And what are your rules? And we're going to give you ours, because we've taken not only family teenagers, but teenagers to basketball tournaments and basketball camps all around the eastern part of the country. Hey, Janie, so let's talk about if you're chaperoning others' children. You know, it's not a family thing, but maybe it's a team thing you're going to there, a camp or dance thing, whatever there is. There's so many there in Las Vegas. What kind of things would you suggest for people who are considering taking teenagers to Vegas?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to recruit other chaperones. You have to have an adequate amount and decide before you go how many chaperones for how many students. Do you want a 4-to-1 ratio or a 3-to-1, a 5-to-1? Are you able to get enough parents and or teachers, depending on what function it is, to help you chaperone? You're going to have to decide on that. And then you have to decide, you know, where you're staying and what the arrangements are there. You'll have to have someone doing room checks, bed checks. I know I went twice to New York City with groups of teenagers, and we had adequate supervisors. We had to do, you know, our room checks and bed checks and con heads all the time and threaten them, obviously. They cannot leave the facility without permission, and even if they have permission, you have to know where they're going, when they're going, who with whom they're going.
I think that's a good point. Like, just because you have adult chaperones, the chaperones really have to, like, give them a service before you get there, right?
Oh, right. You have to know exactly what you have to do, so you don't lose sight of people. So when we took them to New York City, the big fear I had there was getting them lost on the subway. You know, somebody's getting off, and then the other people, or, you know, someone would get stuck on one and then go to another stop. Well, but when you go to Las Vegas, I think a lot of times you can keep them confined to whatever resort or hotel resort that you're staying in, you know, and they might be okay with that. But I would try to get ones that are more teenager friendly. I hate to bring up Excalibur because that seems to be somewhat for younger kids, but they do at least have that arcade.
I was thinking of Sam's Town, too, because I think they have movies and bowling there.
Well, right. Sam's Town has a lot of activities, plus it's out. You can't walk from there to like you can on the Strip or like you could at Fremont Street, walk to other casinos. So that might not be a bad idea. They have laser show at Sam's. They have bowling lanes. So I think before you make reservations, you need to check and see what amenities the hotel is offering.
Well, what about taking your own kids? Like, you know, I'm sure there are families, and the only way they could get to Vegas is that, you know, the kids have to go too.
Yeah.
So what kind of things do you recommend as far as what to do when you're there? Because these, when you take your own kids, most likely they're in the same room as you or the same suite as you.
Right. Well, I think the Stratosphere is a must. You have to go to the Stratosphere because that is, it's the tallest building out there, and it's the tallest, west of the Mississippi.
When we were there just recently in February, I saw they have an all-day ride pass ticket. Wasn't much more expensive than just going on once.
Right. Well, you have to, if you're not eating at the top of the Stratosphere in the restaurant that revolves up there, which is a cool thing to do if you want to, and the food's pretty good. I mean, they have the regular fare that teenagers like, spaghetti. They have burgers and fries, and we've had them all. They're all pretty good. And it rotates. It goes around one time. Plus, you get to see the sky jump that's there, people jumping off while you're there eating. But you have to pay to go up just to go up and have the view or to look at the rides or to ride. So, and what we learned this last trip that I didn't know before, you can buy tickets once you're up there. Let's say you go up there like we did and say nobody's riding, but then when you're up there, a couple people change their minds and say they want to ride. Here, they're, I forget what they call the person, but they're there, and you can buy tickets up there. You just have to ask somebody who's working up there.
I think, you know, even if you're going to be there a while, to take a look at that all-day ride ticket, it's not much more than just riding once, really. I mean, because they might want to ride it over and over again.
Right. That's true. And I think, of course, you know me, I wouldn't ride any of them.
Yeah, well.
But I do like to go up there and look, and everybody, we've taken all the kids up there, and they've all liked looking at it, and we do have a couple takers for the rides. We have other members who have ridden.
Also, what about picking a hotel for the pools? Because
that's true too. Well,
some of the pools have just the pool, and then there's other pools that
Right. Well, there's also you want to look at when you're going to go with them. If you're going to go, the best time would be to go late spring and all summer and fall because the pools are open. And actually, some of their pools open in March. Almost all of them are open by April, but you would want to look. Some just have pools, yes, but others have, like Mandalay Bay has a surf pool and a lazy river and the regular pool. But the surf pool is one that has a surf that comes in just like a regular beach surf, and that differs from a wave pool in that the waves are turned on every so often, and then it's still again. But with the surf pool, that's not like that. So Mandalay Bay has quite a few pool options, as Monte Carlo used to. Since they're remodeling, I don't know what's going to happen there, but they had a lazy river and a wave pool and the regular pool. And the Golden Nugget downtown has the shark pool, where there's a slide inside that you can actually see the sharks and, as they say, swim with the sharks.
I could see where, you know, family, teenagers, that'd be okay, Fremont Street, as far as, because there's so much entertainment outside the casino.
Right,
but an adult has to be with them, wouldn't you agree?
Well, right. Your teenagers, you have to remember, you know, they're underage. They can walk into the casinos, most of them, to eat. They can't hang around to any machines, though. They have to be continually moving. But outside on Fremont Street, in the evening, obviously, you have the Fremont Street experience with the light show and the awning. But they have groups playing, and they have music, and you can just start dancing on the sidewalk if you want to. They have some little magicians along the way and little places for entertainment. But the Strip doesn't have too much of that, although you might want to see the waters at the Bellagio. I know one of the, well, he was a kid in our family when he first went out there, that he was fascinated with that, and he would go there and just stand there.
What about the magic shows on the Strip? Would you recommend those for teenagers?
Oh, absolutely. There's the best magicians are out there, and one being David Copperfield, which we took one of our grandchildren to, and the other one was Chris Angel. We've seen that, and we've had our grandkids see that.
I would think a lot of the singers, too, you know, a lot of the pop stars that are out there, they come and go, I know, but I could see where they'd love that.
Oh, right. You just have to find out. Find out, first of all, where you're staying, if they have any entertainment, and if they do, what it is. You might want to consider some of the impersonators also, some of the pop star impersonators. I know that Mandalay Bay has on the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show.
I know in Mandalay Bay, when I was in there playing craps, I actually saw, you know, some people that work for the casino hawking tickets. They were saying, get the Michael Jackson tickets, 2-for-1. So there's that. And aren't those show ticket outlets on the Strip? You can get some good deals for those kind of entertainment.
Right. It's just called half-price tickets. They're always half-price. And they have good deals, and you can sometimes get them through the hotel also, wherever you're staying.
I would say be careful with the comedians because of the language. I think you have to be careful about that.
Either at the ticket booth or in the hotel, you know, what they will tell you what age the person is. Do they have to be over 15, over 18, over 21 to attend the show? So there's that. Now, there's always the places like Hershey World and M&M World, those kind of things. But it's just there, you're just going in and buying candy.
Yeah, I think, too, the same thing, even when you're with your own kids or your grandchildren, whatever, it's your responsibility. You just can't trust them to behave because they're teenagers. You know?
Well, anywhere. I mean, even the little kids. What I don't like on the Strip is if you have to walk on the sidewalk, your proximity to the street. Another area to consider would be Circus Circus. Now, that's definitely a great place for the little kids, but the older kids, too. There's an amusement park under a dome in there called Adventure Dome. Full amusement park, including roller coasters, inside the dome, so you don't have to worry about the weather, whether it's too hot, we know it doesn't rain very often there, but there's that. And in Circus Circus, they still have the circus acts, so many every hour, that are free. You just go in and sit down and you can watch them. The other area for entertainment is New York. New York has the roller coaster, and they now have a 4D experience, they call it. I'm not quite sure I know exactly
goggles.
What that is.
You wear those goggles and it changes like monsters are chasing you.
Oh, okay. Well, I know they were advertising that there, and a lot of the teenagers seem to like that New York, New York stop. Plus, at New York, New York, you know, you're right beside Excalibur. You can get the tram at Excalibur and take you over through the Luxor, then over to Mandalay Bay and back, or you can walk underneath to all of them.
There's that Titanic exhibit. I think that'd be something that they
the
might want to see.
Yeah. Right, that's true. That's at the Luxor. You know, there's a Red Rock Canyon. There's a Red Rock Park. One you can drive through. Another one you can hike through. But they're beautiful, both of them, and a lot of activity for them there. And everybody seems to really like that. And there's a few other places for hiking. We mentioned before there's the Pinball Museum, which
Pinball
we
Hall
really
Fame.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like that. If you have kids that are into that. And that, you can do that pretty cheaply. You can go in there with $20 and spend a couple hours.
Yeah, there's no entrance fee. You just have to pay for
right.
what you play.
Yeah, and they have a lot of good machines. So, and it's never really crowded at any one given time.
I wouldn't tell parents, don't take teenagers to Las Vegas. I would say just remember, they're the first priority. Like, you have to sacrifice some of the things that you may want to do because you have responsibilities to make sure they're safe.
Oh, right. When you have kids, and we've always said this, when there's kids with you, they come first, period, yeah. End of statement. And then when they're safe and secure, then you might be able to look into some of the things you want to do. But I know people take kids there for a lot of different reasons. You know, they have weddings, anniversaries.
Oh, that's big too. You know, families have weddings there, and they bring
kids.
Teenagers. They bring great grandmothers and grandfathers, and it's just a real mix. It's a family thing, and let's be honest. Those casinos have so much experience; they can handle things like that so well.
They can handle large crowds.
Large crowds.
Again,
yeah.
It might be nice to go to a facility where it offers everything there. I think South Point might be a good example of that. I know they have the big arena now where the rodeos are the horse competitions, the animal competitions. I think that when we were there in February and we drove past, there might have been 65 horse trailers just there.
I also just want to mention for families, because if you're thinking about, if you're a Catholic, thinking about Mass on Sundays, there's two large Catholic churches on the Strip on both ends. And also off the Strip, there's also, other denominations are close by. So if you're one of those families that, hey, we're in Vegas, but it's Sunday, and we're going to get ourselves a church. I mean, they're there, and that's not an issue, really. It's close.
There's also the campus of the University of Nevada at Las Vegas.
UNLV.
Yeah, and they have the big Mac Arena there, and they have a lot of activities that are going on there. And that's really close to the Strip, if you want to visit that.
And we talked about that, like there might be students interested in just that, checking in, even checking in with their admissions and getting a tour around campus. I'm talking to, first-year, second-year students there, see what that would be like. Well, anyway, I don't think it's a bad thing to bring this up, because I know some families just can't go to Las Vegas unless they bring their teenagers with them. So I think you can do it. Just plan, don't you agree? It's about planning and a commitment to their safety.
Right, and again, I think it depends why you're going there, but when you're going. I mean, in the middle of it, it gets cool there. Well, I also wanted to mention that if you are there in the winter and you have winter sports teenagers who like to take part in some of it, you can always go up to Mount Charleston. They have the skiing up there and snowboarding and different activities that are up there. And I guess it's a nice venue even, off season. You can go up there and become cooler when it's very, very hot in Las Vegas. Some people go up there to eat, have dinner, and just spend the day and cool off up there. I think that's an option for families. And then, obviously, if you want to take in something bigger, there's the Grand Canyon. It's just a couple hours away. You can drive over there, and then there's the Hoover Dam. Now that's a great experience too. That's not even an hour away from Las Vegas.
That's the educational thing there.
Yes, we've gone there and we've done the whole entire tour, and it was really, really a great experience. And all the kids that we've taken there have really liked it.
Well, I just want to close out with April 1st is Easter Sunday, talking about going skiing, but how about the buffets in these casinos on Easter? So if you have some complimentary buffets, it might be something. If you live in a state where you can take your family members under 21 to the buffet, some states you can't. But if you live in one, I would suggest if you have a chance, for not too much money, you can have a feast on Easter. You want to talk about that Rising Sun comp that we can't use?
Oh, well, Rising Sun, they cut the crab legs for you. They bring them to you already cut. It's great. It's a great feature.
And that's, of course, Rising Sun, if you're not familiar with that, is a resort in southern Indiana, riverboat resort in Rising Sun. I think the casino is Rising Star, right? That's what it's called. Okay, I want to thanks, Jane. Thanks for your insights into chaperoning. I know you're a lot of experience with that.
Yes, but I would say here that if you have never been to Las Vegas, you do need to get some information, and a good place is AAA. If you're a member of AAA, you can get all their books for free. Just tell them what books you need of the different states, and they list all the attractions in those books. They list the hotels and everything, all the amenities. They're very valuable in that case. I don't know if you're not a member or if you have to pay for them or what, but they do have them, and you need to. It's just like going to Disney World in a way. You have to just read up and plan your time and see what's available. Now, if the kids that are going are in a competition or in a camp, like a basketball camp or
tournament,
cheerleading camp or basketball or football, 7-on-7 or whatever it is they have, they're going to be busy at those camps. And the people running those camps have a lot of experience with the teenagers and with their schedules and such. And they also may plan activities for them. So just be advised to look into that to see what else they what they have planned for them. Or they might have options, you know, that we're going to go to the movies one night. We'll go bowling another night. So, you know, there are things to do there.
Okay. Well, thanks for your insight. I know you had that taking a basketball team down to the University of North Carolina and Sylvia Hatchell's camp. And it was, what, hundreds and hundreds of teenagers mm-hmm. there. And you were one of the chaperones, so that, you have a lot of experience with it. Thanks again, Janie.
All right, a very short break, and we're coming back for the big wrap. Just a couple points I want to reemphasize. Alcoff insists that the professor suggests that when you go up $50, change tables. I don't know where you can find 10 tables a day. You have to move around, I guess. In our case, you'd have to travel a couple hundred miles. But he basically is saying that, you know, tables can change, and this way you won't run into the streak of seven outs or 7 points. So, you know, I just say if you got $50, just quit and play craps another way. Stay at the same table, start over again, that kind of thing. Okay. If you're going to Las Vegas with teenagers, you might want to consider American Casino Guide and Anthony Curtis's newsletter and reward booklet, because those coupons sometimes overlap and you can feed a number of kids cheaply using those coupons. That's the American Casino Guide and Anthony Curtis's Las Vegas Advisor. You get a rewards book for that subscription. So for under $65, you can get both, and you know, you'll get much more out of it than that. Those are two suggestions. If you want to stay in touch with us, we welcome any kind of a call regarding casinos in any form whatsoever. So I'd like to hear what you're thinking. Our 24/7 answering service is 1-724-519-4556. 1-724-519-4556. You can also follow us on Twitter at CasinosUSA2017. At CasinosUSA 2017, and join our Facebook group. Use CasinosUSA written as two words. And please, there's a couple hundred people with us, and we post pictures and so on. And also, we have a collage of photographs of the places we go to. There's 1,400 casinos in the United States, and we're not just about Vegas and Atlantic City. We go a lot of places. So maybe you'll see a place that you've been to or a place that you're considering, you know, vacationing, and that's www.casinosusa.bet. CasinosUSA written as one word, .bet, B-E-T. And we're engaged in the search for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And Casinos USA is a place where every day is Saturday. Looking forward to our Mohegan Sun trip in April. Looking forward to meeting some of the podcasters that we admire, and also the friends of podcasters as well. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you, everyone. And don't forget, one of the great attractions in Las Vegas for teenagers and for adults are those rides on top of the Stratosphere. It's an international appeal. We've met people from around the world up there who came to Vegas just for those rides, and teenagers love them. All right. We'll see you in 2 weeks again. And every day is Saturday. Bye-bye.
Hey, every day is Saturday.